in our discussion of the complex halacha and tools for bris, the last thing that we discussed was the case of gerus, which would seem to be a classical case of a complex halacha. We need stage and maisa after maisa. We need kabbalah sol mitzvahs, we need milu, we need tefillah. And here the Rav has a chiddush based on the sug of ger katan matbilin osal das bezdin. If you hold like Tosus in Sanhedrin, on Daf Samach Chesamid Beis, that the gerus of a ger katan is doraisa, he's a ger government at Torah, so the Rav asked the question, but where's the kabbalah sol mitzvahs? One of the basic integral maisim of the maisa gerus is completely omitted, is completely lacking. And here's where the Rav says his Baam Chiddush, that maisa gerus definitely includes milah and tefillah, but not necessarily kabbalah sol mitzvahs. Kabbalah sol mitzvahs would be not a maisa gerur per se, but rather an outstanding condition that has to be met. The gerus of a katan, since it doesn't lend itself to kabbalah sol mitzvahs, the katan doesn't have das for that, therefore that t'nai, that condition of kabbalah sol mitzvahs is completely omitted. It's completely alleviated. It's not necessary. And that explains the yisod of Rav Yosef in Ksubis over there on Yud Aleph, Higdili Yicholim Limchos. Meaning once he becomes a gadol, now he has the choice decision whether to add the kabbalah sol mitzvahs or not. And he's got the das, he'll need the kabbalah sol mitzvahs. If he rejects his gerus, then one of the basic elements of gerus in the conditions of gerus, not the maisik gerus, is lacking. This piece of the Rav is also very important for other dimensions of the methodology of Lomdus, because we're always going to have to wonder about something which is essential and generates the chalos, and something which is only a t'nai, it's only external. You know, when something's external t'nai, you can possibly waive it and still end up with the same chalos, the identical chalos, but not something which is essential to the process of generating that chalos. In the case of kabbalah sol mitzvahs and gerus, in the Rav's perspective within the context of this chiddush, kabbalah sol mitzvahs is not a maisa gerus, it's not identified with the essence of the process and generating gerus and kedushas, but rather a t'nai. And as such, it can be waived if there's no possibility of a t'nai. I would like to add a similar concept you find in the sugyan krisus on Daf Tes with regard to kabbalahs, with regard to bringing the carbon of the ger, the hazas carbon. At the time the Mikdash stood, a ger would have to bring a carbon ager. That carbon ager is a complex carbon made up of different parts, but be that as it may, according to the Shita Mekubetzes at the beginning of the second parak of Krisus, without his carbon, the ger is not a ger at all. He's not Yisrael kosher. He cannot marry Vas Yisrael. So you see, Lechora, that bringing the carbon, the ger has to bring the carbon as part of his maisa gir. Without it, he's not a ger. However, the Gemara says, "Ela me'ato idna the leka carbon lo nekabel gerim." How can we be mekabel gerim? B'svan, I said we don't have a carbon. There's no possibility after the Mikdash was destroyed. There's no possibility of bringing a carbon. The answer is with Doroseichem. The Gemara derives from a pasuk of Doroseichem that in all generations we have the institution of gerus. So when the Mikdash stands, then carbon ager is absolutely indispensable. Without it, there's no gerus. But when there's no Mikdash, then gerus is complete with mila and tefillah without carbon. And the answer to that might be, what underlies the Gemara, is that carbon is not a maisa gir per se. It doesn't define the essence of creating gerus, but rather it's a t'nai. When the possibility, the opportunity lends itself to fulfill that t'nai, that condition, then the t'nai is binding, and without it, without its fulfillment, there's no gerus. However, in the case of a t'nai, we can always suggest that if there's no possibility of fulfilling the t'nai, for example, in the case of korban ager liachar hachurban, then we waive the t'nai, and the gerus stands on its own, with the fundamental elements, the maisa gir of milah and tefillah. A similar kind of approach we'll find within the context of a Rambam in Hilchos Toein V'Nitan at the beginning of the sixth parak. There the Rambam, you know, discusses, and you'll see it here on your page, the concept of Tainas Baal Din. When a litigant presents his case, for example, a plaintiff puts forth a claim, a lawsuit against the defendant, that's called a taina. And the taina itself really is a complex halacha. On the surface of it, it looks like a simple halacha, but really it conceals two different dimensions. Number one, the taina itself, when he puts forth a claim and he says, Ploni, Reuven, Shimon, Levi owes me so much and so much. Or, for example, when the defendant says, Eini chayav l'ploni. And then there's a second dimension, which we would call hezber ataina, to explain the basis, the underlying basis of your claim. For example, why does so-and-so owe you money? Or why are you not liable to pay so-and-so? And the answer to that question, why, is what we call a hezber ataina. Now, Rav Shechter has an article which he published many, many years ago in the Be'er Yitzchak, and the topic of that lecture, of that essay, excuse me, is Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha. And in the context of that discussion, he raises the following chakira. When a person puts forth a claim against the other litigant, for example, Ata Chayavli, or the defendant says, he's makrish that tvi, and he says, Eini Chayav Lecha. How do you define the explanation of the taina, the hezber taina? Is it a condition that has to be met, or is it part and parcel of the essence of the claim itself? Meaning, without an explanation for the claim, for example, Ploni Hilvisi Lecha, or Parati Lecha, I lent you, or in the case of the defendant, I paid you back, that defines the essence of the Taina itself. Without it, it's not a Taina. Now, Nagos Ashri, in the ninth parak of Bava Kamma, quotes two opinions with regarding the following question. Excuse me. The Baal Din, who comes to claim that he's potter, to exempt himself from payment, and he, in the context of that claim, he makes himself into a rasha. Now, according to one opinion, the Baal Din is believed, even though he's creating a self-accusation here, he's admitting that he's a rasha. And apparently, says Rav Shechter, according to that opinion, the explanation of the taina, the hezber taina, which makes him into a rasha, is not an essential part of the taina itself. Rather, it's a tanai. It's an extraneous, external condition that has to be met. Meaning the Baal Din has to defend himself by giving some explanation for his claim. So therefore, even though he's not believed in Beis Din with regard to his hezber taina, because that hezber taina predicates and assumes that he's a rasha and he can't incriminate himself, nevertheless, he could be believed on the etzem taina. We can split between the gufa taina, which says, I'm potter, or I'm chayev, you're chayev, and the hezber taina, which says, I'm chayev because I did something illegal, something that incriminates me. However, there's one opinion quoted in the same Agos Ashri, who says that in such a case, a Baal Din, by virtue of the fact that Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha, his claim has to be thrown out of court. Why? Because the Hezber Taina is part of the Taina itself. And since he cannot be believed on the Hezber Taina insofar as it incriminates him, Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha, so that's Mafkia, his credibility is Nemonis on the entire Taina, because the Hezber Taina, which underlies the claim, is itself essential to the claim and makes and becomes part of the claim. So here we have a very fascinating example of an abstract definition that can really take you one of two ways. Is there such a thing as a taina per se that can be isolated, chayav, potter, from the explanation of the taina, I'm chayav because of reason X? And those can be separated. A person might be believed with regard to his taina, even though he's not believed on his explanation of the taina. Or do we say no, that the explanation of the taina defines the taina itself? I mean, it doesn't make sense to say I'm potter. Why are you potter? What reason are you potter? Why is he chayav you? What reason is it? And in that case, if the Hezra Taina forms part of the essence of the Taina itself, then to the extent to which he's not believed on the Hezra Taina, he can't be believed on the Taina itself. There's no Palgina Dibura here when it's all one Dibur, when it's all one claim. You can have similar discussions about Edus. If the Edim add certain answers, let's say, to Drishos, not to Chakiros, Chakiros of Mokum and Zman, are essential and define the very substance of the testimony, but there are other answers to other questions that would seem simply to be extraneous to the gufa shaledus, the essence of the testimony. They are a t'nai, you know, the Edom have to get this right, you know, what color was his shirt? But you might say that if he's not believed on the drisha, we can still say Palgina Dibura and accept his Edus, insofar as his Edus essentially is independent, is separate from, and not part of the Hezver, or the details that he offers in the course of his testimony that are related to Drishos and not to Chakiros. Another example, a prime example, of two different parts of a complex halacha, but in this case, two different dimensions of an action. And we'll find this in general with regard to Isuri HaNoah, that we could always talk about the Achila per se and the benefits he gets from the Achila. Or, in the case of Shatnez, we could talk about the Maisa Levisha, and we could talk about the pleasure, the enjoyment, the benefit that he derives from the Maisa Levisha. So with regard to the Isur Shatnez, we find these two elements enumerated in the Sugyan Yevamos on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara's language is as follows: Michti, Ksiv, Ubeged, Kelaim, Shatnez, Lo Yalel Lecha. So the Pasuk here indicates Lo Yalel Olecha with regard to Shatnez, and yet there's another Pasuk that says Lo Tilbash Shatnez. Instead of Lo Yalel, the emphasis here is on Levisha, Lomali. Why do we need both? Srichi. The ikos of Rachmana lo yale alecha have a mina kol derech halah osa Rachmana filu mochrik sus, and Rashi says ein miskavnim lanos chimu. Is therefore kos of Rachmana lo silba shatnez dumya de levisha de ispe hano. So we need a levisha with a hano, with a benefit. If it's cold outside and you're wearing a coat, that's hanos levisha. If it's warm outside, or even if it's cold, but you're wearing 10 layers of levisha because you're selling it, that's not hanos levisha, and that's not a violation of lo silbash. And on the surface of it, our first response, our intuitive reaction would be that there are two different distinct elements to the violation of the prohibition of shatnez, and they're both equal. One is the levisha, and the other is the hanos levisha, and both elements have to be fulfilled. You have to check them off in order to constitute a violation of the Iser Lo Silba Shatnez. I would not in any way raise the possibility that one element is more fundamental, more essential, superior to the other element. They seem to be equal on the surface of it. But granted that premise, if we're operating with the assumption that both Levisha and Anos Levisha are equal, what do we say about the Gemara and Erechin? On Daf Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara says, "Hani Kohanim, Hoil V'Ishterei Kilayim LeGabayhu." The Torah permitted Kilayim in Big Day Kahuna. In other words, the Kohanim wear Big Day Kahuna with Kilayim in it, and the Torah certainly permitted this because that's the nature of the mitzvah of Big Day Kahuna have to be worn by the Kohanim. So the Beis Halevi in the first Chelik, the first Simon, raises the following question. The Gemara says in the Darim on Daf Tezayin Amud Beis, Hamadir Atzmo Me'anos Sukkah. If a person takes upon himself a neder and enjoins himself from having any benefit from a sukkah, nevertheless, Mutal Aleshev, but he's allowed to sit in the sukkah, Yeshiva Shal Mitzvah. as long as he's doing it, and it has the status of a mitzvah. Why? And here the Gemara formulates a very famous and universal principle in Shas: mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu. In other words, the hana that you derive from a mitzvah, in so far as you're doing the mitzvah for the sake of the mitzvah, and you have a side benefit that you gain some physical pleasure from, that's not called hana. We have this in Rosh Hashanah, in Chav Ches, in different sugis and Shas. So the Gemara, if we apply this Gemara to the case of Levishas Shatneis, let's say the Kohanim are wearing big day kuna with Shatneis in them, and they're doing so b'shas avoda, then there is no Isa Levisha, because we're lacking Hanas Levisha. And even if you'll tell me the Kohanim certainly derive some physical pleasure and benefit from the fact that they're wearing these begadim, nevertheless, we have a principle of mitzvah slav lehenos nitnu. And since the Levisha is l'shem mitzvah for Big Day Kuhuna, therefore the Hanah is negated, it doesn't have halachic status as Hanah for Isuri Hanah, mitzvah slav lehenos nitnu. Why does the Gemara need to come up with any sort of chidushim that hoil v'ishtere kelayim l'gabayu, there's a separate matir? The Beis Halevi says, I don't have to come on to any separate matir, just simply apply the principle of mitzvah slav lehenos nitnu. And based on this kasha, the Beis Halevi goes very far. And he comes full swing back to the Gemara and Yevamos on Daf Dalet that we began with to say and reinterpret the Gemara that although Hanas Levisha is definitely required and it's part of the Avera, nevertheless the Levisha per se, wearing the Begit, that is the Avera. The Hanah is not the Avera per se. It doesn't define the very essence of the Avera. Basically, we don't have a halacha merkevus here. Just like we took out Hezver Ataina, according to the Man Yomar, who says that they're believed even if they're Mason Marshias Atzman. Or, for example, we took out Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs in the Rav's Chiddush in Ger Katan. So too, we're going to take out Hanas Levisha. It's not part and parcel of the essence of the Avera. The Avera begins and ends with Levisha. The Maisa Levisha per se. What does the Gemara mean then? When it derives from Los Silvash and you need a Levisha with Hanah, what the Gemara means, it's defining the nature of Levisha. There are two classes or categories of Levisha. And one category is bumped off, it's not included in the Issa Levisha, and the other category defines the Issa Levisha. What the Gemara is establishing in Yevamos is that the category of Levisha which the Torah enjoyed, which the Torah prohibited, is what we call a Levisha Sheyesh Bo Hanah. It's a normal, classical Levisha, where you wear something, you get benefit from the wearing. Not the case of Mokhrei Ksus. Those who sell clothing, and they wear the clothing as part and parcel of either transporting the clothing or whatever have you, but not for the sake of Hanah, that is not a Levisha Sheyesh Bo Hanah. Now, let's get back to Mitzvah Slav Lehenos Nitnu. The Beis Halevi claims that that principle of Mitzvah Slav Lehenos Nitnu applies whenever the Hanah defines the essence of the Issa. For example, if you take upon yourself a neder that enjoins you from Hanah, in this case from a sukkah, then the Hanah that you get from the sukkah defines the Aver itself, because you took a neder that you won't enjoy any benefit from the sukkah. Therefore, in order to permit you sitting in the sukkah and gaining that Hanah, we have to apply the principle of mitzvah slav lehenos nitnu, that your yeshiva is the yeshiva shel mitzvah. In the case of Kohanim who are wearing kilayim, the Levisha itself sets up the Iser. And if you ask me what kind of Levisha is it, it's a Levisha sheyesh bo Hanah. Therefore, the very fact that they are wearing begadim, which have kilayim in them, and they're wearing it in such an open, in such a way, v'tzura shehi, levisha sheyesh ba'anah, that itself would generate an iser levisha of lo silbash kilayim, because levisha, the nature of levisha, the nature of that act of levisha in the case of kohanim, is a levisha sheyesh ba'anah. The fact that the levisha is a levisha's mitzvah is not enough to undermine the prohibition of Lo Silbash by negating the Hanah and calling it mitzvos lav le'enos nitnu. You can apply the principle of mitzvos lav le'enos nitnu, and you could be matir hano when the iser itself is identified with the hano. But now we're identifying the iser with levisha. Levisha itself, in and of itself, generates the avera. So you can't say mitzvos lav le'enos nitnu here. So you negate the hano. It doesn't matter. You can say that hanos hagavra is not considered hano al pidin, but you can't say that the levisha has changed and it's no longer a levisha sheyesh b'hano. We're using hano to define the type of levisha, the manner and the form, the shape in which you do the levisha. And certainly, without a doubt, even in the face of mitzvos lav le'enos nitnu, the levisha of the kohanim of bigdei kahuna is certainly a levisha. Classic, a levisha sheyesh pahana, and therefore the levisha per se would generate the iser of kelayim of lo silvash. And the answer to that is we need a separate matir to be matir bigdei kahuna with levishas kelayim. The normal principle, universal principle of mitzvos lav le'enos nitnu would not be sufficient to remove the iser levisha in the case of bigdei kahuna. So just analyzing the Derech HaLimud here, the methodology, is, and in this case, the Beis HaLevi is the forerunner of Brisk, and many of Reb Chaim's categorical breakthroughs are based on what he got from his father. In this case, what the Beis HaLevi is doing for us is, he's isolating and limiting the principle of mitzvos lav le'enos nitnu to those Isurim within which the Hana defines the Avera per se. But there are Isurim in which the Hana plays a role, and it certainly is necessary, but not Levisha Befal, not the Gavra's Maisa Levisha, Maisa Hana, not his Hana Befal. In the case of Neder of Mudra Hana, the Hana defines, well, in the Gavra's Nene, that defines the Avera. That's exactly what he prohibited himself with the Neder. But in the case of Kelayan, the Maisa Levisha is itself the essence of the Isur. The Hano is not to be understood as the Hano is Hagavra Befoal, the actual Hano that he benefits. That's not the essence of the Avera of Lo Silbash. But rather, the Hano reflects upon the Maisa Levisha. So we end up with a monolistic halacha here in Lo Silbash, not a pluralistic, it's not a complex malacha, it's not a hybrid, but rather it's a single-celled anebian. All we have over here is this one single element, namely the Avera of Lo Silvash is exactly that, is the Levisha. The Hano itself is just an adjective that describes the Levisha. We need that category of Levisha in order to constitute the Avera of Lo Silvash. But the Hano per se is not necessary. And therefore, even if you'll negate the Hanoah by applying the halachic reasoning and rule of mitzvah sal v'enos nitnu, we're still left with the Levisha, which is enough to generate the Iser, if not that the Torah alleviated, permitted, Levishas kilayim in the case of Bigdei Kahuna. Continuing on with the concept of the complex halacha, there is a concept which in Brisk became very, very fundamental, very popular, called monea. What is monea? Monea means a blockage. In other words, you could have an action that's necessary in a positive way, b'kumva say, to create a chalos. That action creates the chalos. But you also might have blockage. You might have something that's preventing the chalos from taking effect. What you have to do now is you need to be mesalek, you need to remove that monea, that blockage. And for that you need another action. So you have the first action which creates the chalos, but you need the second action to join the first in order to remove the blockage. That's called asaras monea. And that will clear the way, clear the path for the first maisa to create the chalos. And this is a fascinating thing because in many cases we see two actions and we assume they both form some sort of partnership of shava b'shava, 50-50 equal energy forces, two equal maisim, but yet the chiddush here is, no, let's understand that one pu'ula is necessary, the other pu'ula just removes a ma'akev, a monea, some blockage. I mean, this really touches on a discussion we had last time regarding bitlo v'lo bitlo, where you violate a lav, but there's a nitak li essay, you could fulfill the essay, and as long as the essay is outstanding, as long as the essay still remains a plausible opportunity for the over, for the avarion, the balavera, then there's a blockage that will prevent us from giving malchus. So you need to be mavatel the essay, to make it impossible. You destroy the aveda, you destroy the mother bird, etc., etc. Now, is that action part of the machayev that we discussed? You know, do you give asra, do you get malchus for the bitl essay? Or do we say no? The bitl essay is nothing more than a hasaras monea, a siluk monea, which clears the way to give us malchus for the original lav. So the malchus is for the gneva. And then we'd have to give you asra at the moment of the gneva, the gzela. But then you have hashavas hagzela. So when you remove the possibility of hashavas hagzela, what you're removing is a blockage. Again, we're going to get into a problem of hasras suffik in such a case. We wanted to say that according to Bani Yomar, bitlo v'lo bitlo, we have hasras vadai, because we give him a hasra at the time of the bitl essay. And Rashi said that that was the completion of the aver salav. And therefore you give the hasra at the moment of the completion of the aver salav. Therefore bitlo v'lo bitlo is part of the essential maisa hamachayev, the maisa avera. However, in other cases, and that's what I'd like to discuss with you now, we're going to use a different approach. And we're going to answer questions and prove that action X creates the chalos, and Y only removes a monea. And here, I'm excited about getting back to the question of Mila. We were able to isolate Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs as a separate Tanai, not part of the Maisa Gir. And we left the Maisa Gir with Mila and Tvila. Now, Karbon, we discussed a great length. But let's analyze Mila and Tvila. There's a very important Rambam in Hilchos Isurei Bia, in the 13th Perek, where he discusses Gerus, right at the beginning there. He claims, the Rambam, that Mila, in the case of Klal Yisrael, for their Gerus, the national Gerus, was an episode that took place during their time in Egypt, in Mitzrayim. So there was Mila and Mitzrayim. Tvila, says the Rambam, and even Karban took place in the Midbar after Yitzias Mitzrayim, at the time of Kabbalah's HaTorah. The Ramban, in his Chidushei Ramban on Yevamos, on Daf Nun Zayin, he writes that even the Bnei Shevet Levi, who we know underwent Mila before Yitzias Mitzrayim, and for the purpose of Mitzvah, in other words, they continue the Mitzvah of Mila that was given to Avram, but it was not a Mila for the purpose of Gerus. Nevertheless, says the Ramban, there was no need for the Bnei Levi to repeat Mila, which means Hatavas Dam Bris, at the time of Matan Torah. The original Mila of Shevet Levi in Mitzrayim for the purpose of the Mitzvah of Mila, that sufficed. There was no need for another Mila. So the Ramban asks the following question. We have a rule that Goy Mahul, let's say there's a non-Jew who's circumcised, notice his Mila was not for the purpose of Gerus. Now he wants to undergo Gerus. He's already Gemalt. So what does he do? Chayv lahativ dam bris. So the Ramban raises the following question. By parallel, by analogy, what about the case of Bnei Shevet Levi? Since then Mila, at the time, during the time of the slavery in Mitzrayim, was a Mila shelo l'shem Gerus. It wasn't for the purpose of Gerus. That can only take place later at the time of Matan Torah. Their Mila was for the sake of the Mitzvah of Mila. Why don't they require Atofas Dam Bris? Why did the Rambam and the Ramban himself agrees that Bnei Shevet Levi, as far as Mila, were completely clear? So the Rav Zichron Levracha, in one of his published essays, which was collected in an anthology called Besoda Yachid VaYachad, writes the following. Let's quote the Rav's language. He says, "Muchach midvarav." What we could derive from the Ramban's words is ki ein hamila mahava pu'ula beseder agerus. Mila, to our surprise, and we're in shock here. This is quite a revolution. Is not a ma'isa gir kamo tvila. Now we've now willed it away that the essence of gerus is tvila, jumping into the mikvah. But rather, what is mila? Ki kol inyanu hulafki hashem arlus me'am is gayer. which I would call siluk monea. Again, the Rav doesn't use that terminology, but we want to conceptualize the Rav's chiddush and see it in a methodological structure. And we would say that arlus is antithetical to mila and prevents the mila from, prevents the tvila from generating kedushas Yisrael. So tvila in the case of an arel is not a maisa giur. So if there's no mila, then an arel can't enter in to the bris of kedushas Yisrael, but not to say that the mila itself is part of the maisa giur. It defines the essence of the process of gerus. Therefore, if you have a person who would be misgayer and he's considered a mahul, meaning he could jump into the mikveh and his tefillah would be meaningful as long as he's a mahul, we don't need that mila be a mila l'shem gerus, but it has to be a mila that removes arlus, it has to be a mila that makes the gavra into a mahul. In the case of a non-Jew who circumcises himself for whatever reason, let's say for hygienic purposes, it's not l'shem gerus, his status is that of an arel. He's a complete arel for all dinim. And you can check out the sugya nedarim lamed aleph amid beis. Therefore, if he's an arel, it's not possible for him to be this guy with tevila alone. He'll need some sort of new maisa mila, so to speak, that will remove his shame arlus. And that's called atofes tambris. In contrast, in the case of Bnei Levi, since they came from Zaro Shel Avram, and they had the mitzvah of mila that was given to Avram, they don't need hatofes tambris. And the reason for that is, I believe, that tefila itself would be a maisa gir, because now they have a status, each one of the Bnei Levi has the status of a mohul. So in other words, if the mila was part of the maisa gerus, then you would need mila l'shem gerus. And the mila of Bnei Levi for the mitzvah of mila would not be sufficient. But if mila is nothing more than removing a blockage, meaning a mohul can become a ger, but an arel, because of his arlus, is prevented, is blocked from becoming a ger, the Kedushas Yisrael cannot be chal on an arel. So now, even if this mila removes the shame arel for a different reason, because it was a meaningful act of mila as a mitzvah of mila, but not for the sake of gerus, it's irrelevant. I don't need mila l'shem gerus, because I don't need mila as a maisa gir. I just need a mila to remove arlus. And in the case of a mila l'shem mitzvah, you have a mila which is chal, it has a status, it's a kiva mitzvah, and it has the power to remove the shame arlus. Basically, what we're seeing here in the method of brisk is two concepts that are antithetical. In other words, a chalos which cannot exist as long as it's coexisting, so to speak, with another concept which is antithetical to it, that's where we have what we call a blockage that has to be removed. So you have the one positive concept and the one negative concept. You have the gerus, and its antithesis is arlus, and those two cannot coexist at the same time. In such a case, we apply the rule of maisa versus siluk monea. In other words, we reduce and diminish the halach of gerus to a single celled amoeba, as we said before, it's monolithic, it's not hybrid, and the tevila is the maisa gir from beginning to end. Everything that's necessary to generate gerus and kedushas Yisrael is inherent in that one single act of mila, of tevila. However, arlus is antithetical to gerus. In other words, you cannot have gerus and kedushas Yisrael in an arel. So what you need now is a mila. But you don't need mila to create the gerus. You need mila to remove the antithesis of gerus, namely arlus. As long as that mila is sufficient to remove arlus, it doesn't have to reach the highest darga of a mila as gerus as a maisa gir, because mila is not a maisa gir. It only removes the blockage of arlus. A very, very similar concept, the Rav once quoted the name of Father, the name of Rav Moshe, with regard to Shichrur Eved. Now we know that an Eved is an incomplete ger. His gerus is incomplete. He had gerus l'shem avdus, and he's chayv mitzvahs ki'isha, but he doesn't have a full-fledged kedushas Yisrael. He cannot be counted in a minyan. He cannot marry a Jewish girl. He cannot testify in a Jewish court. None of the basic dinim that apply to Yisrael apply to him. Now, what happens when the Adon is Meshachrer, he frees his Eved. Now, keep in mind, the Adon has what's called a Kinyan. He owns the Gufo Shel Eved. So he can remove his ownership, and therefore the Eved goes free. What about the fact that he's an Eved Begufo, and his Geirus is incomplete? So the Gemara has a Mandiomar Shmuel who says that if a man is Mafkir, his Eved, he makes his Eved Hefker, which basically means he's removing his Kinyan Abdus as a Kinyan Mamon, then Eino Tzarch Get Shichur. Then the Eved becomes a full-fledged Yisrael without a Get Shichur. And according to many Rishonim, the original Tvila of the Eved, L'shem Geirus, the Geirus of Avdus, would be sufficient. In other words, he doesn't need another Tvila to become a full-fledged Yisrael, at least not on a Doraisa level. Because according to Shmuel, all he has to do is remove the Shem Eved as a Shem Kinyan. So Rav Moshe asked, I don't understand. An Eved is possible Eidus. How are you going to be machshir him to Eidus simply because the Adon removes his Kenyan Mammon, the Gufo Shel Eved? Fine, that's great. He can no longer work the Eved. The Eved can no longer demand employment wages. That's fine. But how can the Eved be counted in a minyan? How can the Eved testify in a Jewish court of law? How does the Eved gain Kedushas Yisro without a Geirus? And the original Geirus is insufficient. It was only a Geirus that generated the Kedushas Yisrael of an Eved, not a full-fledged Kedushas Yisrael that would allow him to testify or marry a Jewish girl. So Rav Moshe derived from this the following radical conclusion, that when we speak about an Eved and his Geirus, we should understand that the Geirus of an Eved inherently, in and of itself, has the power to create, to generate a full-fledged Kedushas Yisrael without any limitation in that Kedushas Yisrael. The problem is that he's an Eved. The Shem Eved Begufo is a blockage. The removal of the Shem Eved allows, it frees the original Geirus and allows it to be a complete Geirus. It's sort of like, you know, when you pull something with a rubber band. So as long as the rubber band is taut, the object doesn't fly. But you just let go, and the object flies. What's holding back the Geirus from being complete? The Chalos Kedush Yisrael is being withheld. It's being blocked. It's the Shem Eved. So you have a thesis and an antithesis. You have Avdus, in this case, as antithetical, Atarti Desasre, to Geirus, to full-fledged Geirus of Kedushas Yisrael, Gemuru Shlema, to allow him to marry a Jewish girl and to testify in a Jewish court. Once you remove the Shem Eved, which according to Shmuel can be achieved by being Mafkir your Eved, so you remove the Adon removes his Kinyan on the Eved, the Shem Eved is Paka. He's no longer an Eved. Once you remove the Avdus, then any psul in the Eved that prevents him from being Chayav and Mitzvahs, from testifying in a Jewish court, is also Memela completely removed. Once again, we see that we're creating two concepts, one which is antithetical to the other. There's Geirus and there's Avdus. So once you remove the Avdus as a siluk monea to remove the blockage, then the mail of the original Geirus is complete. There's no need for another Maisa Giur in order to complete his Geirus and generate a Kedushas Yisrael Shlema Ugemura. Let's just add one more point, and we'll leave the rest of this discussion about a complex halacha for another time. We're very far from completing this topic. It's a very, very fertile area, the methodology of Brisk. Let's talk about the mitzvah of Dalid Kosos on Leil Pesach. As we said at the outset, whenever you see a number, then you know that there are different pu'ulos that form a complex halacha, halacha merkeves. And this would be a classical case. Let's point our finger at Dalid Kosos. And we might ask the following question. Do the Dalid Kosos form one entity with four different actions, or no? Basically what we have is four different mitzvos. Each kos is a mitzvah unto itself. A similar idea we might raise with regard to Sfiras Omer. You know, there are 49 days of counting. Are these 49 separate independent pu'ulos? Or do they form one whole, one entity? There are many different sub-actions, but they all form one halacha of counting the Omer. And the counting the Omer has to be constituted by 49 countings. So Amir Hashem, Bli Neder, we'll get back to this when we reconvene, and we'll talk about these kind of mitzvahs that have a number to them, and whether or not they all form one entity with different subcategories, different subparticles, if you will, parts, segments, or no, they're four separate independent mitzvahs. In the case of Dal Kosos, we'll see that the Gemara's language seems to indicate that Kol Kosa Mitzvah Fe'atzma, that each Kos is independent. It's a separate mitzvah. On the other hand, the Yerushalmi gives many, many different explanations for why the number four, why we need four Kosos. The four Lashonos of Geula, etc., etc. This seems to imply that the four Kosos form one entity, one indivisible unit, and together we have a mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. In the case of Sfiras Omer, we're going to see that according to one sheet in the Chinuch, you must count to all 49. They're all indispensable. That indicates that they form one entity and not 49 separate mitzvahs. Mitzvah Shem will pick this up. Thank you very much.